today as we come to the table.
You don't need to be sealed. You're already sealed. The Bible says when you give your life to Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God literally puts a mark on you. He puts a seal on you, and it would appear that it's a seal that's on your forehead right now. Although I can't see it, the Lord can. Every one of you in this room, if we could see spiritually, we could see exactly who was saved and who wasn't. Would that be freaky or what? You know? Oh, visitor, welcome.
What? What?
Well, you may see one day once your eyes are open, right? But God sees it. And here's the other thing. The enemy sees it too, which is comforting and a little discomforting. It's comforting in that I belong to God. The enemy knows that. But it also means I belong to God and the enemy knows that.
If you're part of a sports team, you can tell who's on your team because you all have the same uniform. It's pretty obvious if someone from another team tries to join you because they wouldn't be dressed the same. This is helpful because it ensures you don't give the ball to the wrong person. Well, thanks for staying with us. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark explains how, if you are a Christian, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked by God. No one else can see the mark, but God can. That mark or seal lets the enemy know you belong to God, and he will try to attack you because of it. But because you belong to God, the Holy Spirit will protect you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 6 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
What's interesting, when they found a lot of the woolly mammoths and those kind of things, they found them encased in ice, fast frozen in ice. Now, there may be other explanations with the flood and all that went on with that, but if an asteroid was to hit, boom, and flip the earth, then where it's like nice and warm and sunny and tropical, you're thrown in the middle of what is now the North or South Pole, frozen like that. They wouldn't have time but to look around, run a little bit, and freeze. They'd just be frozen super fast in these way below zero temperatures. So either way, what it would be like, we don't know. But again, look how the earth is going to be shaking and rocking from these meteorites hitting the earth and maybe asteroids and the sky filled with all this cloud and dust and all this going on. It says, and then the sky receded as a scroll. Now, this is the very end. Receded as a scroll when it's rolled up. Imagine looking at the sky and all of a sudden it's rolling up like a scroll. God just says, okay, I'm done with this one. It's time for a new one. And remember, he's gonna be creating a new heaven and a new earth. Now, again, the new heaven and the new earth isn't going to be until 1,000 years later. So I don't know what's going to be replacing all the stars until then. Who knows what kind of glory we're going to be seeing emanating from the earth and all. We don't know. Maybe some of the stars he doesn't roll up. I don't know, but the stars are going to be rolled up like a scroll. We'll have to wait till we see it to find out. But, you know, get out one night when the stars are really bright and you can see good. And just imagine just being rolled up. What an awesome scene that would be. How it would be freakishly scary if you didn't know your God was doing it and he was your dad. But what an amazing thing to see when you know it's your dad and you're going to be okay. Just amazing. And notice this. He says, and also at this time, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Could be the earthquakes, the meteorites striking the earth, the asteroids, we don't know. But the bottom line, it says that all of the mountains are going to be leveled. Mount Everest, everything is going to be level. There aren't going to be any mountains on the earth. And it talks about this in other places in Isaiah. The whole topography of the earth is going to change. The Bible says when this happens, when all the mountains are knocked low at this moment, it says that Jerusalem will be raised up. It'll be the highest mountain on earth. And it'll be raised up. And that one Temple Mount area is going to be like some 26 miles by 26 miles platform. It's like 40 acres now. The size of our property is the size of the Temple Mount today. But now our property is kind of elongated. Kind of looks like Israel, or I like to think so. If I twist this way and put one leg that way and do that, and squint, it kind of does. But if you were to scoot it all in into a rectangular square, the size of our property is the Temple Mount today. It's going to be way bigger than that. It's going to go out like something like 20-some miles. And everyone will come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And all the mountains will bow down because every mountain will be lower than the mountain of God. And so this is talking about when that day happens. It says, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, that is all these that have rejected God and rebelled against him to the very end, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This is the moment when they finally figure out those crazy Christians were right. Up to this point, they think we're nuts. They think we're crazy. They reject us. They're glad we're gone. And anybody that didn't receive the mark, they're troublemakers. Get rid of them. Kill them. You know, do whatever you have to. Lock them up in internment camps. Do whatever. Murder them. Cut their heads off. Do whatever you have to do. Get rid of them. And then this is the point they're going to realize he really is coming, because it says every eye will see him. And they'll realize, now I've got to stand before this Jesus the Christ, Almighty God, creator of the universe, and I've got to be judged. And it says they're crawling in the mountains, fall on me, destroy me, thinking they're hoping that maybe getting crushed and hidden, they'll never have to face him. But even if it fell on them and crushed them, they would still stand before the Lord and be judged. Again, Isaiah speaks about this as well, about the kings of the earth and those going into the cave saying, fall on us. It's talking about the same thing here in Revelation. Now, there's another picture about how I talked about. Remember in the Bible, it doesn't use chronology. You see it back in Isaiah. Now, you see it here in Revelation. That's all over the Bible. But now, if you know where to plug it in, when you're reading Isaiah and you see that they went into the caves and said, fall on us, you know where to plug it into Revelation. That's how this works. And the more you see it, the more you learn it, the more you'll find where it goes, and you have your chronology in place for it. But says, they're trying to hide from the Lord, for the great day of his wrath has come. Wow. Those are, again, the seals. These are now the sealed of Israel, starting in chapter 7, during the great tribulation. It says, then after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Now, that's interesting. A lot of people, the Bible, that proves the Bible's not true. The writers believe that the earth was flat and had four corners. Really? Well, then the military is deceived, because they talk about the American power on the four corners of the earth. So it's sad that the American military is so behind technologically that they don't understand the earth is round. That's silly. God is speaking of four quadrants of the earth. The Bible very clearly says the Bible's round. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the earth is round, not the Bible. The Bible says the earth is round. And has said that the earth is round long before man ever discovered that. In the book of Job, it talks about the earth being round. In other places as well, science is catching up to the Bible. It's not the other way around. And so this is a very common terminology even still today. The four corners of the earth is used by the military to this day. And so no problem with that. God is greater than the American military in their terminology. And the four quadrants of the earth, these angels are standing there. So it's broken up in fourths. Holding the four winds of the earth. Now, these angels can hold back the wind. This is amazing to me. You think about, you know, we can't grasp the wind. They're holding the wind back by their power, that the wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea or in any tree. Have you ever been anywhere where there's no wind for any extended amount of time and it's hot? I have. I've been in places where it's super hot and there's no wind. There's nothing. It is miserable. You're like, how could anyone survive this? And boats can sometimes be stranded in the ocean for days when there's no wind. It's amazing to think that could happen, but it does. And it's devastating when there's no wind. And you know, boats can't function, at least those by sails. So much just shuts down with that. They shut the winds down because he's going to wait to stop everything on the earth until he seals these 144,000. He says, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. And so they're going to be released to harm in a moment, but not yet, saying, do not harm the earth and the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of God on their foreheads. That is, do not destroy the earth in the wrath until I supernaturally protect these that are sealed for that. And we're going to see who they are in just a moment. Now, again, some try to say this is the church and we'll be sealed and go through the great tribulation. For so many reasons, I disagree with that scripturally. But first of all, you don't need to be sealed. You're already sealed. The Bible says when you give your life to Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. God literally puts a mark on you. He puts a seal on you, and it would appear that it's a seal that's on your forehead right now. Although I can't see it, the Lord can. Every one of you in this room, if we could see spiritually, we could see exactly who was saved and who wasn't. Would that be freaky or what? You know? Oh, visitor, welcome. What? What? Well, you may see one day once your eyes are open, right? But God sees it. And here's the other thing. The enemy sees it too, which is comforting and a little discomforting. It's comforting in that I belong to God. The enemy knows that. But it also means I belong to God and the enemy knows that. So there's a double meaning there to that. But why could this not be the church? Because if it was the church, they would already be sealed. They're not sealed yet. They get saved in the Great Tribulation, and now they need to be sealed. And so we're going to see these 12 tribes. Again, I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Of Reuben, 12,000 sealed. Of Gad, 12,000 sealed. Of Asher, 12,000 sealed. Naphtali, 12,000 sealed. Manasseh, 12,000 sealed. Simeon, 12,000 sealed. Levi, 12,000 sealed. Issachar, 12,000 sealed. Tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 sealed. Joseph, 12,000 sealed. And the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. So if you wonder who the 144,000 are, then you just need to read the Bible. They are the 12 tribes of Israel that God seals during the Great Tribulation. Now, it's amazingly simple, but it's amazing how difficult mankind makes this, isn't it? Some say that the 12,000 or the 144,000 are really the only ones that are saved. Jehovah's Witness used to say that until their numbers got above 144,000. Then they had a problem. So then they said, okay, really it's more than 144,000 saved, but these are a special 144,000 that really please God, and they're going to live in a higher place in heaven. There are some today that say that this is the church. This represents the church. Well, we already showed it couldn't be the church because they had to be sealed. And the moment you give your life to Christ, you're sealed. These were getting sealed right now. This was the moment they were giving their life to the Lord, but they're in the tribulation. And the church is already gone, so they can't be the church. You know, the simplest thing to do when it comes to who are they is who does God say they are. Now, here's the problem I have with people trying to figure out and say who the 144,000 are and try to say this is, you know, whatever. Whatever person is telling you who they are, if they're not simply believing what the Bible says, at that moment, they are putting themselves as the authority. So if I'm Jehovah's Witness, I'm now the authority, not God's word. I know God's word says it's Israel, but I say, and my group says, okay, if I say that it's the church, I know the Bible says it's Israel, but I say, see what's happened? I've taken the authority away from the Bible. I've taken the authority to myself, and now I'm the authority. Guys, you don't want any man to be the authority. You want God to be the authority, and his word is the only authority. And if God says it's the 12,000 from 12 tribes of Israel, then it's 12,000 from 12 tribes of Israel. It's Israel. Well, Mark, what do you do about the 10 lost tribes? There aren't 10 lost tribes. That's a false statement. We might not know who they are, but do you think God knows who they are and where they are? Can you imagine God? Where are those tribes, God? Well, I just had them. Now give me, okay, look, give me a second. I'll explain this. I put them right over there, and they're gone. You'll be like an angel talking to the Lord. You know, where'd you do those 12, those 10 tribes, you know, Gabriel? Well, Lord, okay, there I was. And I had all the tribes right there, and this beautiful, like, Gabriel, stop it. Where are the tribes? I lost them. God doesn't lose anybody. He knows where everyone is. There are no lost tribes. God knows exactly who. Listen, the Jews today don't even know what tribe they're from. They don't know. But God knows who they are and where they are. So they're not lost at all. They were just scattered during the Assyrian captivity and Babylonian captivity. That's all. And God is bringing them back and rejoining them back in Israel, and they're there now. God knows exactly where they are. And so, now, it's interesting, a couple of things to note here. There are actually 13 tribes, and let me explain that to you, because this stumbles people. When they read the Bible, hey, there's 13. Remember when Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh? Well, Jacob absorbed them into the tribes of Israel. But Ephraim, Manasseh, and Joseph really were absorbed into one. And whenever you see usually Ephraim and Manasseh mentioned, Joseph will be left out, and usually when you see Joseph mentioned, Ephraim and Manasseh will be left out because really they are one. It's kind of a technical thing that happens that turns out to be 13 at points and 12 at other. God still has the 12 tribes, but there's a reason for that because, again, you'll notice in this list there's 12, but in this list it mentions Manasseh and Joseph. It mentions Manasseh in 6 and Joseph in 8. How could that be? How come two of them, if they're really all one, why did God mention two? Because you'll notice Dan is missing. So God makes up the 12 tribes out of the 13, which really the 13 make 12 because he combines Ephraim and Manasseh and all that. And that's how God made the difference up there. But why did God leave Dan out of this? We don't know for sure, but we do know this. And this is the tribes that will be sealed and protected during the Great Tribulation. Dan was the very first tribe to lead the nation of Israel into sin and idolatry. And many scholars believe this is a chastisement on the tribe of Dan. They're not going to be sealed. They're not going to be protected. Will some Danites survive? Absolutely, because what's neat about this, although I believe this could be a chastisement from the Lord on the Danites during the Great Tribulation, when you get to the Millennial Kingdom, guess who's one of the tribes with land? Dan. And so you see God's grace. It's almost like God gives him a spank. Now, you were the one that led the nation into idolatry, so now when I bring the great judgment on the earth, you're going to suffer the consequences of that, but my wrath is not forever, and now, boom, I'm going to give you your place when it comes to the kingdom. So don't be stumbled by that. You'll see sometimes when you try to count them, if you get into the 13, remember you got Ephraim and Manasseh that make up one, and you'll see Joseph and Ephraim and Manasseh interchange when they're spoken of in a lot of these genealogies and all that. That's what's going on. And also, if there's any land issues happening, sometimes Levi might be left out because Levi, they weren't given land. Remember, the Levites, God said, I'm your inheritance. And you know, I can't think of anything sweeter than that. If God was to say to me, Mark, do you want me to give you a big portion of land for your family, or do you want me to be extra sweet to you above those others? Be extra sweet to me. Let them have the land. I'd rather be close to you. And so I think Levi got the best end of the deal. So the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, one last thing. This is interesting. Today, they don't know what tribes they're from. Did you know you have to know your genealogy in order to be the Messiah? One of the requirements for the Jews, for the Messiah, he has to know his genealogy and has to be able to prove it. In 70 AD, all of the genealogical records for the tribes were destroyed when Rome came in and burned down the temple, because inside the temple were all the genealogical records. Every genealogical Jewish record was destroyed. That's why no Jew can truly prove what tribe they're from today without question. Some of the Levites may be the Kohen. You see Kohen, the last name of a lot of lawyers named Kohen, and others. Why? The Kohanim. The Kohanim were the priests. So it's possible that they can have some link by their name. But most of the Jews have no clue what tribe they're from. They can't prove it. Why? Their genealogical records were destroyed. Here's what's interesting. That means the only one who could prove to the nation of Israel and to the world that they legitimately fit all the requirements for the Messiah would have to be somebody prior to 70 AD. I have a candidate. The Jews don't even realize it, but they can't prove their Messiah today. He had to come before 70 AD, which the only candidate is Jesus the Christ. Verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Again, remember, tabernacles is when they wave the branches. And so tabernacles, this is that picture of the Lord tabernacling among us. The word means living. To tabernacle among means to live among. And so when they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, it represented the Lord living among them. And now literally the Lord is among them, and they're celebrating the Lord tabernacling among them. And also, as we talked about, palm branches representing victory. And they were crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell to their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. This is a great one to play out in your mind. This is how my mind works, but I want you to do this. Imagine multitudes without number, the thunderous noise of the throne, and all's going, the palm branches, just as far as the eye can see, all the people and just the rejoicing, all these glorious angels falling down before the throne, declaring all the greatness of God and everybody cheering about God. Imagine what it's going to be like to be there. I mean, it's overwhelming. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, well, sir, you know, like, I don't know. You know, you tell me, you're the one that's up here. I'm just the visitor. And he said to me, these are the ones, look at this, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There will be multitudes saved after the rapture. there will be multitudes saved during the Great Tribulation. And now we see them right here. There are some people that say, no, the Lord's not going to let anybody, everyone that's ever going to be saved is going to go, and the Great Tribulation is only going to be those who would never know God. This verse right here shows that to be wrong. Because coming out of the Great Tribulation, there'll be multitudes, and these multitudes are the ones praising God, waving all the palm branches and shouting before the Lord. So we're going to see tens of thousands saved during the Great Tribulation. Now that's encouraging if you have family and friends that you've shared with, and they think you're, again, crazy, and they reject it. When you're gone all of a sudden and they see all these things happening that you told them about, they're going to be coming to Christ in droves. And it's going to be so happy and sad. It's going to be sappy. And they're going to be had. Why? It's happy that they're saved. But guys, they have to go through God's wrath that's coming upon the earth. Even though they're not appointed to it. It's not that God's going to point his wrath to them, but they're going to be right in the middle of it. How do you escape it? I mean, there's like meteorites falling. We're going to see there's, you know, hail as big as 75 pounds falling out of the sky. A fourth of the earth is burning with fire. There's asteroids later on we're going to see hitting the ocean and turning it so muddy it looks like blood red and all this. All these things will be happening. They're going to be in the midst of that. Many of them are going to die in that. Many of them are going to die from having their heads cut off by the Antichrist, the Bible says, and many other ways. So it's sad to think that some of our family and friends are going to face that, but here's the happy part. Once they get through that tough moment, they're with us forever. And it's sad that it takes that, but if it takes that, what are you going to do? You know, it's funny. In heaven, we're not going to get even the satisfaction of them knowing we were right, you know. On the earth, there's that fleshly satisfaction. I told you, you know. In heaven, we'll be too righteous for that. There won't be any fleshly thing that wants to prove anything. We'll just be saying, praise the Lord, I'm so glad you're here. And we're just going to rejoice with him forever. That's the little brother coming out. Sorry about that. I always wanted to, when I grow up, I'm going to beat you up. Then I grew up and didn't want to beat him up. I was too mature for that. I didn't want to beat him up. They're my brother. I'm like, man, why couldn't I still be like a kid? Because I could take him now, I think. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And they shall neither hunger any more, nor thirst any more, and the sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and will lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. These are those who came out of the Great Tribulation, he's talking about. Context here, okay? So the point is this, they've been starving. They've been suffering. They've been abused, beaten, tortured, murdered. They had nothing to drink. And all of a sudden they're in heaven. He says, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never be thirsty again. You'll never go without again. Now you have living waters to drink and the spirit river. Can you imagine what an awesome day for them that's going to be? It's awesome for us too. But the contrast of what they were in to suddenly in heaven in that, it's a great day waiting.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is coming to an end. Speaking of endings, we're in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. The events mentioned in this book can be somewhat frightening for those who don't know God. But for those who have put their trust in Him, there's much to look forward to. The end of Revelation brings so much hope and joy as God makes things right and ushers in a time with Him that will have no ending. It's hard to imagine, right? Sometimes our finite minds just can't fathom what eternity will be like with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for what He has in store. If you're interested in getting to know us in person, you can come be part of what's going on at Calvary Knoxville in Knoxville, Tennessee. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used this community of believers in our community and through His radio outreach. Keep in mind that there's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15 a.m., Saturday night at 6 p.m., or Wednesday night at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's okay. Join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app that you can download from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church info too. As we come to a close today, know that we care about you, we pray for you, and we look forward to you joining us for another edition here. May the things that you've been learning in the book of Revelation really stick with you, connecting you to the one who holds everything in the palm of his hand. This has been Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.